Hello and welcome. You're watching The Buck Stops Here and I'm Barkha Dutt. The big political story continues to be the Augusta Chopper scam. Today, the BJP President Amit Shah took a swipe at Sonia Gandhi. He said that Sonia Gandhi must answer who took the bribes, who received the kickbacks in this Chopper scam. He also taunted Sonia Gandhi and questioned her on her remark wherein she said, "I'm not scared of anyone." Amit Shah said, "Well, in the BJP, we're scared of the law, aren't you?" As politics around the Chopper scam continue, in a sense, to stall Parliament, the question remains, where is this headed? Well, the Ministry of Defence in a press release today said corruption is the core issue. The Defence Minister has also asked the CBI chief to expedite the probe and is now talking about either arresting or extraditing the middlemen involved in the Chopper scam. On our face-off tonight, Randeep Surjewala, senior leader of the Congress, is joining us. Nalin Kohli, spokesperson of the BJP, is with us as well. Randeep, the Congress has tried to go on the offensive, but some would say it's making a lot of noise because you can't defend what you've been accused of. And the primary thing is that if you look at the Ministry of Defence statement, they're saying the Congress is trying to deflect from the issue of corruption. They've also challenged you on your argument that it was your government that initiated the ban. And they've also addressed your criticism that the BJP gave an FIPB license for a joint venture to Finn Mechanica, saying that that license was in fact cleared during the Congress government in 2011. So on facts, how do you rebut this perception of corruption?
Let's not be, let the facts not be muddled. What is the truth of this deal? February 2010, pursuant to a global tender, 12 helicopters are ordered, wherein this company, that is Augusta Westland,
yes,
turns out to be the lowest bidder, technically qualified, awarded the contract. In 2012, allegations of corruptions emerge in the media. The then Defence Minister, Mr. A.K. Antony, in 2013, February, proceeds to cancel the contract based on the integrity clause that he specifically incorporated in the contract, that if there was allegation or middleman, then it will be cancelled. So he cancels the contract.
Okay.
Mr. Antony then further proceeds, Congress further proceeds to order a CBI inquiry.
Yes.
We don't stop here.
Yes.
We offer inside the Parliament in March 2013 to BJP that let's have a joint parliamentary probe through JPC. BJP says we don't want a JPC. We want the CBI inquiry. So CBI inquiry is anyway ordered.
Okay.
In Feb 2014, we also initiate the process for blacklisting or banning the company, so as to say.
Yes.
In on 26th May, Mr. Modi comes to power. The process gets culminated on 3rd July,
yes,
and the company is banned.
Yes.
These are the undisputable facts, Parkha.
Yes.
Now, what is the Defence Ministry saying?
Yes.
They did not give FIPB approval.
Yes.
Congress party gave in 2011.
Yes,
in 2011, Augusta Westland,
yes,
was not mired in allegations of bribery.
Mm.
2011, there was no issue with Augusta Westland, so an FIPB approval could be given.
Yes.
What they do not tell, and I want to show a document on your channel today, and they are misleading because one line of the press release, if you read, they say this was later changed to Augusta Westland SPA Italy due to reorganization within the group.
Yes.
Actually, this permission comes from Government of India on 8th October 2015. And I'm reading a PIB press release.
Yeah.
I'm not reading anything else. And that PIB press release reflects that this government granted this permission at serial number 8.
So what are you
so
saying?
So Defence Ministry is clearly misleading.
You are saying, Randeep, that although... Can I just clarify what you're saying? You're saying although a license given, an FIPB clearance was given in 2011, that was before there was any scam that had come into the public domain, and that the MOD press release today is silent on the fact that in 2015, in fact, once the scam was known, a FIPB approval was given. Is that correct, Randeep?
Correct. And one more fact I want to add.
Okay.
3rd July 2014, admittedly, this company was banned.
Yes.
On 22nd August 2014, within 40 days thereof, same Modi government undoes its own order and says hereinafter, and this is that order of the Defence Ministry dated 22nd August, and they say now, Augusta Westland is permitted to come and bid for defence contracts in partnership with another person, or supply defense equipment, including helicopters, as a vendor.
Okay,
what is this so great favor that Modi government was doing?
I must bring in Nalin now. Nalin, from what I gather, the Congress is making essentially the following arguments. We initiated the process to ban. The government only completed what we started.
Yeah.
B, after the ban, you actually modified your own decision and partially lifted that ban. C, yes, we gave a joint venture clearance in 2011, but that was before the scam. You guys gave a clearance in 2015, fully aware of the scam. And lastly, that Mr. Modi met the Italian Prime Minister in New York and, in fact, invited Finmeccanica to join the Make in India program. In other words, the Congress is saying, we did more to stop this company than you have. Your comments.
I think this is a fascinating discussion. We are just not on the core issue. What's the core issue? That there is a court conviction in Italy after due legal process. Somebody has paid bribes.
Yeah.
Those somebodies have been fined some $8.5 million.
Hmm.
They are going to be in jail for 4 years plus.
Yeah.
And in the evidence that comes up there, the name of Mrs. Sonia Gandhi, the president of the Congress party, clearly features some 3-4 times. And that's been reported in the media.
Hmm.
The core question is, therefore, someone paid bribes, someone took bribes. So who took the bribes? And whose government was it?
And are you saying, Nalin?
So one minute, let me finish.
Yeah,
Marka,
okay.
I expect only the same indulgence.
Of course.
That Randeep has.
Of course.
So that it doesn't break my flow. No
okay.
other reason.
Okay.
I'm sure there'll be counters. Thank
okay.
you. So my point is very clear. That bribes have been taken. Barring that, they are talking of everything else. So now I'll define it. Mr. Surjewala has come up with two statements, because the truth, the beauty of the truth is it always surfaces. It doesn't surface possibly by the timing that one may prefer, but it does.
Hmm.
At the beginning he said, let's not muddle the facts,
hmm.
which he's guilty of doing. And at the end of it he says, speaks about misleading statements. So who has been misleading? The country, including the House. What has been saying? First they said, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi ji met with the Italian Prime Minister to give a deal,
hmm.
to have a deal on this issue. Absolutely blatant lies.
They, quote,
not
they
even
quoted
misleading.
The letter. They quoted Christian Michel, whom the BJP has also quoted to make the point about Sonia Gandhi being the driving force.
Yeah, hold on. That is part of the evidence value. That is part of the court conviction.
Okay.
So now, next, will the Congress party take the help of Daud Ibrahim? So Daud Ibrahim issues a statement in Karachi and says, no, the Congress is absolutely clean.
Yeah.
Because I think somebody else took the money. They'll say, no, Daud Ibrahim has said this. Is this a joke from a national party?
Can I ask you a question?
Let's go number two. Now let me finish.
I have a question.
Number two.
Okay.
Let me finish, ma'am.
Okay.
Certainly you'll have questions. Number two. They next come out with this statement. Oh, we blacklisted the company.
Yeah.
What's the fact? Now they have modified it. Pray would you ask Mr. Surjewala, when did they initiate? This? The word is not even blacklist. It was putting the company on hold. When did they initiate doing so? It'll be fascinating to point. My information is, it's as late as May 2014. When everyone knew that there's going to be a change of government.
Let Randeep
so was that a cover
that.
Up?
That's a specific question to him.
But even.
That's a specific question to him. That's a specific question to him. Let him answer
even.
That.
My last sentence.
Yeah.
Even if that be true or untrue, the fact of the matter remains, the Congress has put out no less than Mr. Ahmed Patel to come out since yesterday. The man who's known as elusive is now the media face of the Congress. They must be worried. And possibly they have reasons to be worried. So what our president has said is, name the bribe takers, and the matter will reach its logical limit.
As a matter of fact, the bribe takers should be caught. As a matter of fact, in a few moments from now, right after this face-off, Ahmed Patel will be on this program. But
well,
Randeep,
there we go.
But Randeep, there's a specific question there.
Barka, can I?
Yes, come in. Come in on that,
yeah.
Randeep.
Barka, there are two facets that my friend raises, and let me put it to him. Firstly, he refers to the Italian court judgment. May I ask him whether it indicts anybody, including any person in the Congress leadership? Let Mr. Nalin Kohli read that portion of the judgment on your channel today, and I rest my case. Because every time we question them, you keep quoting the judgment. Please quote the judgment and quote that line which describes role of Congress leadership or indicts anybody. Number two,
okay, I'll answer that.
Is Indian government a party to this case? The answer is no. Is anybody from India a party in this case? The answer is no. You are saying a district judge in Delhi has made a comment which anyway does not exist about President Barack Obama, and that's why he's guilty. Wonderful. Secondly,
not at all.
Besides the judgment, For 2 years, you are in power. CBI is under you, ED is under you. Why have you not investigated the case? Number three,
okay.
Here is a company, and I'm giving you a specific date. On 10th of February 2014, Mr. Kohli, the then Defense Minister A.K. Antony, initiated process for banning / blacklisting the company. And I challenge you, and please tell your Defense Minister to controvert us by putting the file on the record. Even this press release of the Defense Ministry, that's why, completely escapes the fact that when the process was initiated, in 30 days there was no magic wand for Modi government to blacklist. And within 40 days of banning the company, you undo your own order.
Okay, now
what was the pressure to help over the press
man? First part of the question, where is the part of the judgment that you quote?
I don't read Italian. So as far as I would be happy to comment on it, at least I don't
read
it.
That's wonderful.
Mr. Surjawala knows any talent who may be in a position to translate it, I'm sure everyone would like to read the judgment. Why me? You, all of us. But let's get to the core of the issue. And evidence on the basis of which a deal, there is a conviction. That is not important. That they are saying we paid the bribes, that is not important. As part of that evidential value that is there, on the basis of which it is all there, Mr. Surjewala says, dunk it. Let's talk blacklisting. Something else? Let's talk blacklisting. The defense minister of this country, as I believe, will speak on this issue. The last word has not been said.
Nalin, why is the release silent on the modifications that the government made to its own ban? You say that's not the core issue. 1 minute. You said in the beginning that's not the core issue. And you're right that the Congress has to answer on the kickbacks, and we'll come to that in a moment. But the fact is, you have taken the credit saying we were the ones who banned. If you were the ones who banned in July, why did you modify that order?
Because as I said, I'm telling you right now that this is not the last words that's going to be out. Like two lies came out from the Congress party, and I'm calling them lies because I don't have another word for it. Or a polite word would be untruths. They were not even half-truths. They first pointed to a meeting between the two prime ministers, which did not exist. And then they raised this whole blacklisting thing, which also didn't happen. So we are used to this. They are entitled to try and have a defense of what they may feel may work. Because I'm saying it, my political sense is they must be in trouble. You do not bring Mr. Ahmed Patel on TV. The man who's known to be behind the scenes on TV every day. But I was yesterday on television, he was on a channel. Today he's, as you announced, on a channel again. So they must be having some reason to worry. And they're talking of everything except the fact that bribe takers should not be spoken about.
Let me take that to
the
Randeep.
The rest it can be. Randeep,
I think that's a very fair question. I think, Randeep, that's a very fair point by Nalin. You both can argue about who banned, who didn't, who modified, who didn't. What we know that the Italy
fair
court
enough.
Does say, 1 minute, Randeep, it does say that corruption did take place. Obviously, your government also felt corruption took place because you scrapped the deal. You believed that it was not above board. Now, for you to say, yes, corruption took place, but no politician of the Congress party took that kickback, in which case, who took that kickback? Are you saying the money trail ends with the former air chief, SP Tyagi? Or what are you saying exactly? Where is this money gone? Who received the kickbacks?
I'm very happy that you asked that question. As I answer that, may I also point out, Mr. Nalin Kohli was going all gaga about Congress leadership having been convicted about the judgment. The moment I confronted him to read and said, I rest my case, he says, I don't know how to read Italian. Then why are you leveling false allegations when you do not know what to read? Secondly, I will answer that, no problem. Just relax, you'll have your turn. Secondly, you are saying where did the money go? As far as allegations of corruptions are concerned, it is, forget about the Italian court judgment, the then Defense Minister A.K. Antony, he said it in February 2013 when he was cancelling the contract that there appears to be corruption in this case, and that's why I'm handing over the matter to CBI. Now, to say that just because there was corruption in the case, XYZ is culpable without any evidence thereof is totally per se wrong. So, who is going to investigate? CBI has to investigate. Whose government has been in power for 2 years? It is Modi government that is in power for 2 years. Whose responsibility was it to arrive at the truth? Mr. Narendra Modi and his team of people. And in this case, one of the person, Kristen Michael, whose statement they rely upon, he has written to Prime Minister in October 2015 offering to come to India and depose before CBI. But the government doesn't do anything about it. Government completely keeps mum, does not permit him, does not ask him to come and depose before ED and CBI. ED and CBI write to government, and I am saying with a sense of responsibility, do not continue to engage with Augusta Westland. It's a company that is mired in corruption. But they become the face of Make in India. You call them in every defense expo. You permit them to bid for 100 naval utility helicopters. Okay. You give them FIPB permission.
But that still doesn't
what
answer.
Is the great favor?
Okay, but that still doesn't answer who took...
He cannot.
That, Randeep, that still doesn't answer and where you think the money trail ends. Where does the money trail end? Nalin can answer all these contradictions you've pointed out. But on the kickbacks itself, since they clearly were paid and since the judge in Italy has found that there is reason to believe that corruption did take place, I ask again, where do you think the money trail ends?
Well, the money trail has to be investigated. That investigation for last 2 years has been with Modi government CBI. It is for CBI to investigate, and please go ahead, investigate, complete the investigation and convict the guilty. File a charge sheet against them. Do not spare them, please hang them. But do not rely upon innuendos and insinuations based on a judgment that you do not know how to read.
Okay, Nalin Kohli.
No, I need to come in and yeah, I don't want to be interrupted on this because I have a huge set of points to come. One is, we are not basing the innuendo. You wish to file defamation cases. Well, I mean, you should go against every news channel and publication that has named Mrs. Sonia Gandhi. We are not. And that isn't the open thing. Second is the evidential value of what something is there as reported in the publications does not get dunked because it is inconvenient to the Congress party. Three is, look at what are they saying. I'm constantly saying, what did the CBI do? Well, why don't you also record about the disinterest shown by the Congress party, UPA government, in preventing the CBI to share any documents with the Italian court when they wanted it. It took 1 year between 2013 and 2014 for four pieces of paper to reach them. Four documents.
Okay.
That was the interest in trying to help a corruption case in which bribes had been given, bribes have been taken, to ensure. So therefore, don't try to show anything here. I am assuring you one thing, Mr. Surjewala. This case will reach its logical end because after all, two things have happened with the Italian judgment. Number one, there is a conviction. So there is a whole bundle of documents now available on the basis of which due legal process has happened, and that now can be taken to its logical end. They will be useful. I'm not saying we need to only base it on that, but they will certainly have value for an evidence here. Second, you can't put the charge on the BJP of political vendetta. So Mrs. Gandhi may say, I'm not scared. But had the investigation, not, if the Italian court's conviction had not come in confirmation that there is a corruption case here, you would have said political vendetta. This is political vendetta. There can't be political vendetta. This is going to be an investigation of an investigation that you are proud to say you started.
Okay.
So I'm sure you will be equally proud to say we are happy when there is a conviction, and we'll be happy to see the bribe takers
irrespective of whoever that bribe taker is. I'm out of time. Before I give Randeep a closing word, Nalin, do you want to add one specific question?
Sure.
Just one sharp specific question, and we'll give Randeep the last word. Then. What is the question?
My question?
Yes, to Randeep.
When will the Congress party say, we want a time-bound investigation and we want to see that bribe takers go to jail we will assist to identify the bribe takers. Otherwise, we'll have to remember that Mr. Rahul Gandhi tore away the ordinance which protected Lalu Prasad Yadav.
Randeep, we also have, as I ask you your last answer, I add a question of my own. You also have the CAG report that indicted this deal in very explicit details and spoke about the ministry actually overpricing and paying even more.
I forgot to mention, three helicopters have been kept here. That amount was not deducted ever.
Right.
We purchased
and the CAG has been scathing about this. Randeep, your closing comments.
Number one, Congress has maintained consistently for 2 years you are in power. Why are you not completing the investigation? Please complete it.
Okay.
Please hang the guilty. Please punish the guilty. Number two, 2,068 crores were recovered by Congress party as against 1,600 crore that were paid to this company. But Mr. Kohli forgets to mention
that. Three helicopters were kept.
Number three, three helicopters have also been seized.
Which were
number
paid
four.
Which were paid for.
For 2 years, your government has been in power. For 3 years, your government has been in power. Why did you not assist the Italian court? Why did you not supply the documents to them if some had not been done? But he forgets to answer that.
There was a lower
and please
court
start
on the
reading
basis
judgments
of which the higher court has convicted.
Before passing judgments on people,
all right,
do not pass judgments and And do not pass judgments without even knowing how to read judgments.
We will leave it there. This debate will continue for a few days. We'll have
then
both of
you back.
What are
you defending if you are so confident?
Randeep Surjewala and Alan Kohli, leaving it
there.
Thank you so much, both of you, for joining us on the Buck Stops here.
Thank you.
Now, as we've been talking about Ahmed Patel, whom the BJP says is elusive, and yes, he has been all these years, and a surprise about why he's suddenly in the media. Well, Ahmed Patel has been referenced in a letter written by one of the middlemen in the deal, Christian Michel, where he's described as a key advisor to Sonia Gandhi to target. He also finds another mention by virtue of his initials AP, though Ahmed Patel has questioned how the media can deduce or the BJP can deduce that this is a reference to him. Let's go straight across now to Ahmed Patel for his detailed response on his name in this controversy. Let me ask you, Ahmed Patel, the big question is, you have said, hang me if you find any evidence against me. Lekin agar aap judgment ko dhyan se dekhen, jaise ki aapne dekha hoga, to us judgment mein judge ka clear reference hai. The judge refers to the prosecution making the argument that when the name AP is taken, that AP means you. And everybody in political circles also knows that Ahmed Patel is commonly known as AP. To aap kaise keh sakte hain ki ye AP aur main Ahmed Patel, we are two different people?
See, you must go to the operative part of the judgment. What's the operative part of the judgment? And when you say that the magistrate has said something, Yonadi, on this, but when magistrate said something, what was the background, Yonadi? When first, Yonadi, they asked, they said, what is the meaning of the AC? How do you define as the AP? Then they said, we have found out from the internet, some Googles and all these things. So it is all baseless. You must go through the whole order. And you will find that the Mr. Heske, he has said four times, I don't know Ahmed Patel. How can they club AP or how can define AP as a Ahmed Patel? You know, somebody should go. It is all baseless, malicious thing which is, you know, the BJP is propagating.
But the fact that the judge has found all of this material placed by the prosecution basis to come to conclusion, two conclusions. One, that corruption did
exactly,
take place.
Exactly, that is exact.
The judge has concluded that corruption
that exactly
did take place and bribes
you
were paid.
So, what is,
so somebody
what is,
did take
what,
the bribes.
What is that material? What is that material, you know, the... And the material, they must go through the material. How they can decide AP is Ahmed Patel through internet, through Googles. It's a ridiculous thing, you know.
But everybody who knows you, everybody who knows you does call you AP in political circles. So, उन्होंने internet पे भी देखा तो क्या गलत है उसमें?
अच्छा, the other thing, the two people main accused, you can say. I don't know whether they are accused or what should I say. One is Mr. you know, the Christian Michael. Another
yes.
is they say Haske.
Yes.
In that the Michael has given an interview. Yeah, he has said it is not my handwriting, you know. I have not written this thing, you know. And the other note also he has said it is not my note, you know.
But there are two notes. There are two notes by this middleman Christian Michael or Michelle, however you
both,
would like to say his name. There are two
both
notes.
Has, both both. Bo-
No,
both
one is a
notes
type
have been
note.
Denied, you know, by this person.
No, one is a type note. One
that
handwritten
is also
note.
Denied.
One handwritten
type
note, has been denied.
One is handwritten, one is type. I'll tell you, just listen. Both the notes, he said that this type note as well as this handwritten note, it is not of mine. And I have not given this note. He clearly denied if you go through his interview.
Okay, let me just ask you the next question.
And now they... Then,
let me just ask you a question. In my understanding, the handwritten note has been denied by the middleman, Christian Michel. But the typed note, nobody's actually really elaborated on what this typed note is. And as you know, this typed note talks about Sonia Gandhi being the driving force behind the deal.
See,
and then it lists, several key advisors, of which you are named as one. And this time your full name is taken. Ahmed Patel is a key advisor, along with M.K. Narayanan, Manmohan Singh.
I have gone through that note, you know, what does it mean? Once it is not signed. Number two, these people should be targeted. And they are saying that a commissioner should be approached. So the commissioner is going to give the bribe to these people.
The high commissioner.
Even there's a common sense, you know, they should prevail upon them. How can they get, they can, you know, they approach the commissioner, high commissioner, and tell them that you target these people, and whether the high commissioner is going to bribe them?
If you
it's
accept,
ridiculous.
Okay, if there is a statement that has come from Amit Shah that Sonia Gandhi and the Congress leadership must make it clear who received this bribe? क्योंकि आपकी सरकार ने इस डील को स्क्रैप किया. इसका मतलब आप मानते हैं कि किकबैक्स दिए गए, इंटेग्रिटी पैक्ट जो था वो वायलेट हुआ गया. तो इसमें कॉमन सेंसिकल क्वेश्चन है दैट अमित शाह इज सेइंग दैट सोनिया गांधी इज आंसरेबल. हु टुक दिस ब्राइब? इज इट एसपी त्यागी? इज इट समवन इन द पार्टी लीडरशिप? ये किसने ब्राइब
किया? नंबर वन, there's no question of the bribe to the political leadership of the Congress party. It is a baseless allegation without any base. कोई भी किसी प्रकार के प्रूफ के बिना ये लोग ये सारी चीजें कह रहे हैं. बट सिंस लास्ट टू ईयर दिस गवर्नमेंट इज देयर. व्हाट दिस गवर्नमेंट इज डूइंग, यू नो दी वी वर आफ्टर दिस, यू नो दी ऑर्डर ऑफ दिस इंक्वायरी और इन्वेस्टिगेशन, वी वर इन द पावर फॉर नॉट मोर देन 15 मंथ्स एंड दे आर देयर फॉर मोर देन 2 years. What they are doing, they must find out why they are asking Congress party. They have got the government, they have got the
agencies.
But
you have made a statement, no one in the political leadership has taken any money. Then who has? The question will come up, Mr. Patel, that who has taken the money then?
That is the job of the government and investigating agency to find out.
Now, Amit Shah has given another statement that Sonia Gandhi said, I am not scared of anyone. उनका कहना है कि देखिए हम तो कम से कम कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन से डरते हैं. क्या सोनिया गांधी कॉन्स्टिट्यूशन से भी नहीं डरती, रूल ऑफ लॉ से भी नहीं डरती? तो आप इस पे क्या टिप्पणी देंगे?
It is absolutely based what she says. What she said, they are wrongly interpreting her, you know. सोनिया गांधी ने कहा कि ये लोग ये गलत आरोप लगा रहे हैं और ये हमेशा कांग्रेस पार्टी बॉफर्स के शुरू से लेके इंदिरा जी से लेके आज तक हमेशा इस तरह के गलत आरोप लगाते आए हैं. तो सोनिया जी का कहने का मतलब यह है कि ऐसे आरोपों से मैं नहीं डरती, क्योंकि हमने जब कुछ गलत किया ही नहीं है तो ऐसी चीजों से क्यों डरना.
आप डिनाई करते हैं कि आपकी स्वयं मुलाकात या क्रिश्चियन मिशेल या हैशके या कोई भी और अगस्ता वेस्टलैंड के रिप्रेजेंटेटिव से हुई कि नहीं हुई? डू यू फ्लैटली डिनाई इट?
एब्सोल्युटली बिग नो एंड ओ, नेवर इन माय लाइफ यू नो दी.
नेवर एवर हैव यू मेट एनीवन फ्रॉम अगस्ता वेस्टलैंड और एनी ऑफ द मिडलमैन?
Absolutely. Based on the country, I came to know when the Indian Express broke this story. Then I came to know, even I can't even pronounce this, all this name. I came to know only who is a HSK, who is the Michael Christian. I don't know even their names also, you know. And when they argue this BJP, they say it, how can you believe and accuse? I would like to ask them, when Hedley said something, he is also accused in the Bombay blast. And then they believe. Whether I don't want to, you know, they say whether the Israt Jahan was terrorist or she was not terrorist. If she was terrorist, better would have been. They could have arrested and they could have abstracted the more detail. But the one accused is a double standard. If one accused says, ki, you know, the Israt Jahan was not a terrorist, they believe because that is there in their interest. It is not, they put forward the national security. In the interest of the national security, best thing would have been Israt Jahan, they could have catch her, they could have arrested her, aur unse jyada information ye terrorist activities ke bare mein nikali hoti.
To aap keh rahe hain agar David Hedley ki baat mani ja sakti hai to Christian Michelle ki kyun nahi mani ja rahi hai? Lekin wo phir ek contradiction ban jata hai, kyunki Christian Michelle Sonia, agar wo note sach hai to us Christian Michelle ye bhi kehte hain ki Sonia Gandhi driving force thi deal ki. To ye contradiction aapke liye bhi hai aur BJP ke liye bhi hai, dono ke liye hai?
No, it is absolute. नहीं, मैं कहता हूँ जब वो आर्ग्यूमेंट कर रहे थे, आई एम पुटिंग फॉरवर्ड दिस आर्ग्यूमेंट फ्रॉम द वेरी बिगिनिंग. वी आर सेइंग कि वी हैव नथिंग टू डू विद दिस. देर इज अ जीरो रोल ऑफ द पोलिटिकल पार्टी. इवन दिस गवर्नमेंट हैज गिवन दिस कॉन्ट्रैक्ट ऑन मेरिट, यू नो दी. एंड पार्टी हैज नो, दैट इज वॉट मिस्टर एंटनी हैज ऑलरेडी क्लैरिफाइड, यू नो दी. देन हाउ कैन दे से समवन हैज टेकन अ ब्राइब? So it is all baseless, malicious propaganda by the BJP just to divert the mind of the people from the real issues.
One last question. If you look at the history of this middleman, Christian Michelle, even his father, whom he says he doesn't get along with, had a long history of closeness, it is said, to the Congress party. That is why the suspicion ki yahan par bete ki, jaise baap ki thi, waise bete ke bhi rishte the.
What nonsense, it is all rubbish. अगर कोई किसी का बाप कैसे, इट डजेंट मीन के यू कैन लिंक विद दिस करप्शन और ब्राइब केस. इट्स ऑल प्रोपेगेंडा, इट्स अ मैलिशियस थिंग, ऑल बेसलेस, और ये लोगों का ध्यान डाइवर्ट करने के लिए ये सारी चीजें कह रहे हैं.
ऑलराइट,
एंड इट इज नॉट अ न्यू थिंग फॉर अस. When, thank you very much.
No, complete your point. Aap kya keh rahe hain? It is not in last point completed.
No. What I was saying is they are from the very beginning, from Gandhi family ke piche is tarah ke aarop lagate rahe. Ab tak kya nikla hai? Mujhe bataiye. Kya prove kar paaye ab tak, sidh kar paaye? Ye jab bhi aisi cheeze laate hain Congress ko, Congress ki leadership ko defame karne ke liye, badnaam karne ke liye, aur jab ye power mein hai, सत्ता में है, उन्होंने जो वादे किए थे उसमें जब विफल हो रहे हैं, जब वादे निभा नहीं पा रहे हैं, तो लोगों का ध्यान डाइवर्ट करने के लिए कभी कोई इमोटिव इश्यू लेके आ जाते हैं या कभी करप्शन के इश्यू लेके आ जाते हैं। एंड दैट इज व्हाट एग्जैक्टली सोनिया जी सेड कि वी डोंट अफ्रेड ऑफ ऑल दिस थिंग बिकॉज वी हैव नॉट डन एनीथिंग रॉन्ग, वी आर नॉट गिल्टी।
You're watching The Buck Stops Here and our newsmaker tonight is the ever-provocative, always outspoken Tavleen Singh, whose new book, India's Broken Tryst, is grabbing headlines, as always, for its very, very controversial arguments. Tavleen Singh is on The Buck Stops Here. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the program. I remember not so long back, we were here discussing Darbar and now India's Broken Tryst. You're clearly disappointed with the country, and the larger theme that comes across is that almost no leader of this country has actually lived up to her or his potential.
Actually, what this book is about, which is why, you know, when during the election campaign, the word parivartan, during the 2014 election campaign, the word parivartan had great resonance. And it was different things to different people. But it really was, in my view, the reason why Narendra Modi won.
Yeah.
And that people want this shabby country, which has been unable so far to give people just the basics, clean water, roads, electricity, just those things don't exist. And when you look at India compared to almost any other country, we look really bad. So I actually started to think about it, and then thought that I would try to find out why, and because I've been a political journalist for 40 years, I realize this is my view. It's my personal idea that it's colonial governance and democratic feudalism, that it's a kind of lethal combination of these two things that have deprived 90% of
the... Describe colonial governance. What is colonial governance?
The British trained the ICS to serve the rulers. The training of our bureaucrats is to serve the ruler and not the citizen. Now, that training should have been changed, like our education system should have been changed, at independence.
So is it that the bureaucrats have too much say, or is it how they're molded? Is it too much bureaucracy, or is it the kind of bureaucracy?
It's the kind of training they're given. They're still trained not to be the servants of the people. Anna Hazare was right about that. They're trained to be the servants of the government.
So it's interesting that you should bring up the bureaucracy, because Narendra Modi is actually seen to be somebody who likes running his government with bureaucrats, even more than by ministers, by bureaucrats. Do you have a sense that he's doing that? Is this a government run by bureaucrats?
I do, and I've criticized it often. I think that he is making a mistake, that what he needs is a political team. I think one of the reasons why he hasn't been able to make more impact in the past 2 years is because he's relying on bureaucrats who have a kind of servile attitude to the dynasty, right? And
to the Gandhis.
To the, oh, there's only
so
one
you're
dynasty.
Saying the bureaucrats working in the Modi government, according to you, continue to be loyal
continue
to the Gandhis?
I think
where
so.
Is the evidence of that?
I think that the first budget, you saw evidence that the same people who made the budget before...
But politicians write the budget, right? Not bureaucrats.
No.
Or I would say politicians have the ultimate veto on what the bureaucrats input.
They do, but how much do they understand? It's a very complicated thing, governance.
This Prime Minister in particular is seen to be a leader who believes in bureaucrats. And you're saying that's a mistake.
I think that's a mistake. I think that he believes in them because he used bureaucrats very effectively in Gujarat. But,
running India is not running Gujarat.
Yeah.
Now, the most contentious part of this book, especially for BJP supporters, is what you say about Vajpayee. And at some point in the book, you actually say that he could have done much more if he weren't so much like a Congress Prime Minister.
Yeah.
You're actually calling Vajpayee, who described himself as an RSS man, as a Swayamsevak, a Congress Prime Minister. Why? Because, you know, reading through those chapters, Tavleen, you seem to have a problem with the social graces and social courtesies that he or his daughter, Gunu, showed Sonia Gandhi and her family. Should social graces be thrown out of the window?
No. That's not really. That's just the little flavor and the thing. That's not what it was. It was that the changes in governance that I'm hoping that the whole country is hoping that Narendra Modi will be able to bring. I was hoping he would do it. I keep hoping BJP chief ministers will do it, that they will improve the school system, because the Congress Party's biggest failures have been in the social sector. Mm-hmm. Schools, hospitals, these are things that ordinary Indians have no access to.
Yes. Congress Prime Minister.
He didn't make those changes. And I quote an interview with him before he became Prime Minister, he knew what needed to change. He knew what needed to change.
So why didn't he do it?
I think that he was too old by the time he was just tired or something. I think if he'd been Prime Minister, I'm a huge fan of his. I've been a supporter.
It doesn't seem like that in this book.
Well, you know, I mean,
you almost present him. You
failed.
Almost present him as unremarkable.
I think he was.
You're saying he failed
as Prime Minister.
He failed, or he was unremarkable. Which
both,
one?
Both.
Vajpayee was a failure and unremarkable Prime Minister compared to, let's say, who.
Let's judge him by his own measure. I'm comparing what I hoped for from a BJP Prime Minister was that he would be different to a Congress Prime Minister. And I don't think that he was different.
So let me put to you that when you call him an unremarkable Prime Minister, when you say he didn't actually achieve that much except for maybe the Golden Quadrilateral, his highways project, you forget the nuclear
without
tests.
Building the side roads.
You forget the nuclear tests. You forget perhaps the most imaginative Kashmir policy that I have actually seen any Prime Minister, any Indian Prime Minister applying when he spoke about Insaniyat and the template of Insaniyat. You forget the many brave risks he took with Pakistan. And you forget above all his philosophy of Raj Dharm that actually managed more than any other BJP leader to soften the hard angularities of Hindutva. Don't these count for something? Aren't these achievements?
Okay, on the nuclear tests, first start, I've said this before. They're not something that is, you know, very important to me, even though I agree that they got the Pakistani bomb out of the basement.
And he initiated the process of the Indo-US nuclear deal.
I thought that was Dr. Manmohan Singh. I think you have to give credit.
He sealed it, but the process began in the Vajpayee.
I think the opening up to America
began in the Vajpayee years.
Yeah, but I'm actually, this is a book about domestic issues more than anything else. So I haven't really dealt with foreign policy, and I actually praise him
for the Lahore speech.
So I'm not saying that he was all bad, but I think that very important changes need to happen in India if you want democracy to deepen, if you want civil rights instead of civil privileges. You know, we have a very privileged group of people that include you and me that can find a hospital to go to, that can.
Sure,
and, you know,
I don't have a disagreement with that.
I think Vajpayee could have initiated those changes in government. Why was there no new attempt to look at education?
But do you not think he did something very, very significant for the BJP, which is that through the politics of consensus, he managed to keep Hindutva outside the door?
I'm not as frightened of Hindutva as you are. And I
Although
don't
you say at another point in the book that Modi's big mistake would be to not contain Hindutva.
But I, you know, there's Hindutva and Hindutva. I am of the view that Indian children must be taught much more about their heritage, which unfortunately does include the Hindu heritage. No. We have children who grow up without reading.
Of course, we're all colonized.
Kalidas.
We're all colonized and I feel bad in some ways that progressiveness was equal to westernization, because it's not. But to be culturally rooted, Tavleen, is not the same as political Hindutva.
Political Hindutva, in my view, has been blown up too much by the media. I really don't think it exists. I don't think that the Bajrang Dal or the Vishwa Hindu Parishad have the kind of power that the
Yet
media...
Yet you have described the RSS as an albatross around the BJP neck. You're not a fan of the RSS.
I'm not a fan of the RSS, but I think...
You believe the Prime Minister was too silent on the Dadri issue.
Yes.
You believe beef bans are ridiculous issues.
Yes, yes.
You do not believe in this kind of identity
politics. I make a very clear distinction between the rubbish that some of the Hindutva MPs talk and between the need to re-examine what we're teaching our children about the country in which they live.
But that isn't just Hindu heritage, right? It's multicultural, multi-religious.
I know. We've been listening to this multicultural thing for so long.
Do you not agree with that?
I don't agree with the fact that the pre-Islamic heritage of India should have been diminished in the way that it has been in our schools. I do not agree with that. I think that there has been too much pressure, because Muslims have a very strong voice in this country, to insist on things like, you know, Vande Mataram is a bad idea, that, you know, Sare Jahan Se Achha, you know. No, what am I talking about? What I'm saying is that,
I mean, Muhammad Akhlaq's son, the, you know, Sartaj.
I had to say that. That's what confused me when I was looking at your face.
Yeah,
I was
said
thinking
to me that Sare Jahan Se Achha, after his father had been lynched. Then.
Yeah, no. What I'm trying to say is that, you know, there has been too much pressure from very powerful Muslim groups to keep out anything that seems to be pre-Islamic in India's heritage. And that, I think, is wrong. I think Sanskrit should be taught, not the way it's stupidly taught. But, you know, I have a son who resents the fact that he grew up without Indian languages.
That's fine.
No.
But I want to take you back to Vajpayee, where we started.
And I think Vajpayee could make those changes.
And I would argue that with his Raj Dharm template, with his soft approach, the Raj with his consensus building, with his coalition building, he did create a politics of consensus that perhaps managed to not make Hindutva seem as hardline as it would seem in today's debates.
You've forgotten that they accused him then of allowing churches to be burnt in Gujarat, that he had to actually go there, and it turned out that no churches were burnt. You forget a lot of his own baggage where this is concerned. And I really don't think that when it comes to Raj Dharm, he used that term once in Gujarat. But what about Raj Dharm in giving people clean water to drink? In giving them schools, roads, hospitals. That's Raj Dharm too. Why didn't he do all that?
There is this bit in the book where you describe how you're in the middle of a conversation with his daughter, with Gunu, and you say Sonia Gandhi walks into the room and that she basically ran to greet her, and later you asked her, why did you do that? Why were you so deferential? And she said, it's just courtesy. Isn't it just courtesy, Tavleen?
I don't think so.
Why
didn't he pursue the Bofors case? There was a chance to end kleptocracy with that case. We had evidence of money paid by Bofors into the accounts of Rajiv and Sonia Gandhi's best friends. Quathroki was a fertilizer salesman. Why was he being bribed by an armaments company? Why did Vajpayee not pursue that case?
So what's your answer?
My answer is that
they would argue that they did, and they sent a CBI.
They certainly didn't. We all know that they didn't. The case they made was so ridiculous that it was thrown out of court, right?
And I was going to just say that Bofors hit a legal wall. It ended.
Come on. There was...
But that's
even
the fact.
After, in Vajpayee's time, the head of the prosecutor in Sweden who was dealing with the case said, why is nobody interrogating Sonia Gandhi? Why did nobody? It wasn't a legal wall.
So answer your own question. Why did he not?
I'm giving you the answer. I believe he was very overawed.
Yeah, you seem to suggest...
That he was overawed by the... He was certainly a big fan of Nehru. And I think he was very overawed by Sonia Gandhi.
You describe a conversation in the book where you actually are discussing Sonia Gandhi with Vajpayee. And he tells you that she actually doesn't have to do much. She just has to cover her head and
he
do
was
namaste
right.
And win votes. She doesn't even
right
have to say
about
very
that.
Much.
Yeah. So maybe he was closer to the political mood at that point than I was. Had I been in his place, I actually asked him, which I also quote in the book, I said, do you have any problem with the fact that your Mukhya Pratidwandi is a foreign woman? And he said, no, I don't. Yeah?
So why is that not something to be appreciated?
Why is it to be appreciated? I mean,
do you believe that Sonia's foreign origin is an issue? Like,
not anymore.
Anymore. Not even Sushma Swaraj,
in the beginning, and I've said this in the book, that, you know, this white European trying to be Prime Minister of India, and she actually did become de facto Prime Minister, as we know, and nobody criticized her for it. And once she became once she was the people's choice, I stopped speaking of the foreigners, but I oppose her policies and I have a right to.
There is another part of the book which, there's a sentence that leapt out at me, is extremely contentious, and you said Rajiv Gandhi introduced bimbos into politics. And
yes.
And for a feisty woman like you, I was surprised to see you using a word like that about women. Bimbo?
Yes.
Who's a bimbo?
I've mentioned a few names which
but they're not really politically
substantive. Oh, come on, no. Women must come into politics. if they have an idea of what they want to be in politics for. They mustn't come in because they look pretty and are actresses who've never had a political thought in their heads. They actually harm the cause of women.
But being men are never questioned in this way, Taveen. There are dynasts who come into politics.
I object to them as well.
But they're not called bimbos. No, isn't bimbo deeply sexist?
What's wrong with being called a bimbo? I wouldn't mind being called a bimbo.
Of course, because it suggests you don't have a mind. And of course you'd mind.
Well, a lot of the women that he did bring into politics at that point don't have a
mind.
Did
all the men have a mind?
Some of them didn't. But, you know, they weren't sort of in politics only because they looked pretty.
There's another part where Mr. Advani is described as being desperate to look younger than he was.
That's a very specific context.
And it seemed very, very personally uncharitable.
That was a very specific context. In the 2009 election, which I believe that Dr. Manmohan Singh won, Dr. Manmohan Singh looked a lot better than Advani at that point. And there was a picture in all the newspapers of him doing weights in the gym. And I thought that that was a rather sad attempt to look young.
In the paragraph where you talk about that image, you speak of how you believe 2009 was Manmohan Singh's victory, and you're actually quite charitable about Manmohan Singh.
I think Manmohan Singh's been one of the best prime ministers in his first term as
prime minister. Better than Vajpayee, because you sound less disappointed in Manmohan Singh than you do in Atal Bihari Vajpayee.
I am less disappointed in Manmohan Singh. I think Manmohan Singh, had he not betrayed the cause in the second term, when he was really treated as a kind of regent who was just keeping the throne
and didn't
warm.
Intervene in corruption
and
cases.
No, and allowed the National Advisory Council to be above the cabinet.
Okay, let's move on to the present. To the present, the Prime Minister, of whom you believed a change would be heralded when he was elected. When you went to present him a copy of your book, you gave him a few harsh words about his media management. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I think that it was not meant to be an interview, but I told him that, you know, he was making a mistake by staying away from the media. Because
don't you think he has a pretty deep dislike for much of the media, not all of it?
He has a right to.
Because he traces it back to 2002.
He was demonized.
But do you believe that he was unfairly criticized
yes,
for 2002?
Yes, absolutely.
For 2002?
Yes.
Because I have seen you at other points saying...
No, one minute. He should be... How many times did you criticize Rajiv Gandhi for 84?
I mean, I was...
How many times was his name mentioned?
I was in school, but I certainly think that 84 and 2002 are bookends of our conversation riots and
Do you remember the Chief Minister of... The Chief Minister of UP when Meerut Malyana happened? Do you remember his name? Exactly. Do you remember the name of the man who was Chief Minister of Bihar when Bhagalpur happened? All of those riots were worse than anything that happened in Gujarat, right? And we made it sound as though after 1947, nothing as bad as Gujarat had happened. Now, it might be because there was television. It was the first televised riot. But he was demonized unfairly.
Come back to, therefore, given his dislike or his suspicion of at least the English media.
Media, he's not seeing anyone.
Right. And why do you believe that's a mistake? Because clearly his calculation seems to be I can bypass the mainline media and talk to people directly through Twitter.
Well, I think it's a mistake and I told him that. Because
and
you
what
see,
did he say?
He sort of nodded his head. I don't think that, you know, he thought that I was there to give him any advice and I wasn't. But I think that he hasn't realized that when you have 350 news channels, 24-hour news channels, you know, it's not Gujarat he's dealing with. He's dealing with a country that is complex and a media that is very, very powerful, more powerful, almost more powerful than politicians are today. Mm. And so to ignore them completely and to pretend that the media
they don't exist,
not a good idea. Let me tell you what his biggest mistake is. The Indian industry led the economic reforms. After the license Raj ended, had Indian industry not surged forward and really taken on the world with its hands tied behind its back. So investment hasn't picked up yet. Jobs haven't started. The most important thing in my view is jobs. You've got 12 million new jobs to create every year. And that can only happen when investment picks up.
Yet, Sabine, what this country spends all its time debating these days is nationalism. And, you know, there's a very politicized discourse around nationalism. And in one interview I read of yours, you said, what is this Bharat Mata Ki Jai rubbish?
Yeah.
I'm assuming you see the debate around it as a complete non-issue.
It's a complete non-issue to me. It's a complete non-issue. I wouldn't even bother to say anything about it. I think Asaduddin Owaisi, if he wants to say, you know, I don't know, Madre Vatan Ki Jai, etc., or Zindabad, what is
Jai Hind, and I won't say...
Who cares, right? And for Baba Ramdev to start talking this kind of Taliban way, where we're going to cut their throats and all this, this is nonsense. This is not important. It damages the image of the government.
So do you believe the BJP is making a mistake by making some... These patriotism tests that have been introduced into our narrative, if you don't say this, you aren't a nationalist. If you, you know, talk to Kanhaiya, you're a traitor. You know, I do believe these contradictions may trip the BJP. Because look at
yes,
the government...
Yes, I end the book by saying that.
Yes.
Yes, I end the book. Kashmir, I have a different view.
Okay.
I think that, with the, you know, I've written a book about
it. I know.
I think to the Kashmiris, you've got to say, listen, baby, you're going nowhere. All right? Get used to it. And tell us what we can do to make it easier for you to adjust. But there's going to be no division of India again.
No. I meant Kashmir as the contradiction of the BJP and the PDP being an alliance.
No, that's...
When you ratchet up the nationalism debate...
That's huge. That's a huge step forward. And it's a shame that Mehbooba is taking so long and, you know, gone on so that, you know, Kashmir is already beginning to explode again, which is a big problem. But I think that the Kashmir policy of this government, if I was in anything to do with it, is to first make it clear what you can do and what you cannot do. All these years we've been saying, no, we must talk to so-and-so, we must do that. I don't think we should talk to Pakistan about Kashmir at all, ever.
But we should talk to the Kashmiris, that's what I would
say. We should talk to the Kashmiris and tell them very clearly, we can talk to you, but you are not going to break this country once more. Then the conversation
begins.
Come back
to the Bharat Mata Ki Jai and what you end the book with. You're saying the BJP, by focusing its energies on these issues, is actually harming itself.
Is harming the Modi government, harming Narendra Modi personally. Because the vote was not for Hindutva, it was for Parivartan and Vikas. And he must remember this every day if he wants to win again.
Last question before we close, Tavleen. Sonia Gandhi, a big character in Darbar, a big character in this book. Some would say
she's been our de facto prime minister for 10 years. How do I ignore her?
I'm not asking you to ignore her, but would you accept that you have almost a pathological dislike for her? It seems to be very, very evident. It seems very personal.
Personally, I admire her. Personally, I think that for a little foreign housewife to have become the most important leader in India is remarkable, but it's also the sign of the broken tryst, that a little semi-educated housewife from another country could become India's most
popular leader. There are many uneducated politicians.
But she's not even Indian. I'm talking about the fact that she could do this. She could become India's most important leader. That's a broken tryst.
Pleasure to have you on the program.
A pleasure being here. Thank you.